I wanted to talk to her probably weeks ago, but I've been busy and I kind of, procrastinated. And it was such a joy talking to her before. And I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning and I went to her website and I started listening to some of her shows, which I really enjoy. And I'm talking about Renata Magnacci, and she is living in Costa Rica, but she's from the northern, the Door Peninsula of Wisconsin. And we did a show a little while back, and it was just, I thought it was incredible. I just think her insight to things is amazing. But I'll tell you what, listening to these shows really started my day off wonderfully. And I'm going to welcome her back to the States, so to speak, in a way. And she's in Costa Rica right now. How you doing, Renata?
I'm good, TJ. I'm so pleased to be able to talk to you again. I love that. Thank you so much for having me on again.
So how are things in Costa Rica?
Things are beautiful. I won't lie. I really enjoy living down here the majority of the time now with my partner. And it really feels like a calm place to be in the midst of this storm that we seem to be in the United States. And certainly I feel like we're maybe heading into a bit more uncertainty in the States for a lot of people over the next weeks and days and potentially months. But I feel very happy to be here in Costa Rica, although I do miss my family.
And how do you feel about the COVID? Is that something that concerns you? Do you see the people of Costa Rica worried about that?
That's a great question. We for the longest time all through 2020, we really didn't have any cases or know anybody that had it. And it started showing up in the community here about 2 months ago. So I definitely have had neighbors that have had COVID, and, they're just quarantining and getting over it and moving on with their lives pretty much. So I think people were really nervous about it entering the community before it happened. And then once it did, it was kind of like, okay, well, we know what to do now. And they're just getting by it.
So you personally do not have a major concern about this, would you say?
I don't. But my spiritual practice and my spiritual community kind of are not worried about something like this. We know how to ameliorate that if we ever did start having the symptoms to COVID-19 on some level. And a lot of that has to do with very directed praying to our creator. So that's one piece of it, but also just on a more human to human sense, we see people that are getting this virus and are getting over it. We haven't seen anybody pass from it, and indeed those that we have known or heard of that have passed on from it are people who were compromised in one or more other ways as well.
Yeah, and then we also...
So that's what we're seeing.
We also lose sight that everybody's... I mean, some people would say, maybe don't agree with this, but I think you and I are kind of the position that nothing is by accident. And if somebody leaves, it's probably not by accident when somebody leaves, is it?
That is exactly how I feel. I don't think that there are any accidents in terms of when somebody is transitioning out of the body. So if that's happening, my belief is that it's happening for a reason. So, yeah.
And we don't know the reason. I mean, everybody's got a different path. Not everybody's here to awaken, maybe to be on the journey to 5D. Would you say that's an accurate statement, or do you think most people are?
Well, that is an interesting thing to say, because I do, and I say this on my podcast, I do feel like on some level, we all chose to be here on the planet at this time. And if I feel and know in my way of being that this is a moment for this planet to be transitioning to a higher vibration, to literally be moving from a slower vibration into a faster vibration, a higher vibration, which can change our reality. And we are in fact seeing it change all of our realities. If that is the case, that is what's happening on this moment in time, then some part of me has to believe that if we all did on some level choose to be here at this time, then we too are making that journey. on some level. We are all here for that, whether or not we know it, whether or not we remember it, whether or not we think we signed up for it or didn't, and whether or not we feel like doing that right now in our now moment, wherever we are in our life. On some level, I feel like we are at a point right now where we are being asked to remember on some level what is going on right now because we signed up for it.
And what about the ones that maybe don't want to be a part of
We are going to see what happens. There are
that?
so we there are so many people right now around, the US and certainly around the world who I don't feel have any idea what is happening on that level, on that more spiritual level, on that more preordained divine level. And I am curious to see what kind of awakening, if any, those souls have as we move forward in this transition.
You and I talked about with the last time we talked, and I've asked this question just about everybody that comes on. Do you see one Earth or two as we evolve towards the fifth dimension? And you said one, and I really dwelled on that for a long time, Renata. And with everything that could be coming forward, maybe some really wonderful things, once we get past this bumpy ride. It kind of makes me see that this is really the Earth is with this 3D Earth is going to shift to the fifth dimension. But the reason it's shifting, the reason things are changing for the better, is because that is what it's going to be. I had a belief years ago of there was going to be an old chaotic Earth that you didn't want to be on. Get the hell off of it, and then go to fifth dimension. But you kind of said it differently. How do you see that playing out exactly?
Well, that's a good question. And for me at the moment, I can't remember exactly what I said to you the last time we talked, but I've definitely heard the two Earth theory. And I'd be curious to see what you think about this. Do you mean two physical Earths? Like literally, they're going to split, and some people will physically be on the third dimensional Earth, and some
Right.
people will physically be on the fifth dimensional Earth.
I figured not everybody's going to be ready to go to the fifth dimension. Well, where are they going to be until they're ready? So is there going to be like an old Earth playing out the old themes? Or is it eventually just going to become a place where everybody's awake and can see it all?
That's a good question. And honestly, like up front, I don't know the answer to it. My feeling is that we are going through a massive awakening on the planet. I don't know in my human self how fast consciousness can jump because I know you can't push it to some extent, right? But I do believe that all the souls on the planet did choose to be here at this time. So, there's that in play already as well. So for me, I think it's going to be really interesting to see. I do think it will be one planet still. We're on this planet, but I do think that there's a possibility that we will continue to live in different realities, as has been for the last thousands of years, different people and different cultures and different levels of education and everything have certainly lived in different realities on the same planet. So I am curious to see what that's going to look like because it is interesting to think, like to look around at, my neighbors and my community and certainly other people in my life right now and think, oh yeah, they're going to have a full massive awakening and remember that they're spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. Like, come on, that doesn't seem very plausible. But it could happen. And so I don't exactly know how that will play out, but I do feel like it's going to be a massive jump forward. No matter who you're talking to and what level of consciousness they're currently at this moment, I think we can almost like lift up everybody and it'll be a massive jump forward for everyone on the planet, not meaning that they will exactly be all at the same place in terms of level of consciousness, but certainly in the same planet and hopefully more realities aligning to that of a higher dimensional reality.
And I used to see the old Earth, if there was going to be two, it was going to be a really dark place. But I've shifted after our conversation, and I really feel this thing called the Nessera and Jessera has a good chance of coming forward. And it's all meant to change the world and make it a better place so that we have an easier time. Can we ascend when things are chaotic? Or wouldn't we want it to be easy? Wouldn't the plan be that life is going to get better and that'll make us, allow us to become more aware and want to focus on our spiritual development? Or will we be trying to leave a chaotic world? And I think it's going to be a better world. That's just what I feel.
I do too, completely. I have been saying this for a long time. I see the world getting better and better and better and better and better, and not just for a few, for everyone. But I think it is so out of our understanding what the world could look like and hopefully will look like that we can't even imagine it. We can't even visualize it. I can't even go there, you know, at will like I used to be able to. I say that I used to be able to do this thing my whole life, which was see ahead in my own life, anywhere from like 2 months to 2 years ahead in my own life. And then I realized I could kind of tune into the world and whatever I was looking into, I could kind of get information on that. Well, that ability to see forward stopped in May of 2019 for me. And I noticed it. I was like, wow, I can't see forward. I can't see forward anymore in my own life or in the world's life. And that, and so my own explanation for that for myself is that things are moving, two things. One, things, timelines are shifting so quickly that I can't land on anything because it keeps shifting. It's in a continual momentum of changing into what it needs to be. And two, my human self, if I'm not maybe in a high enough vibration, can't even visualize or conceptualize what the world will be like, even a few months from now, and certainly a few years from now. So that's how I'm explaining that to myself at the moment.
And then also, because I've heard this for so long, that time, you know, the Mayans were not predicting the end of the world. They were predicting the end of a time or time itself. So as we become more translucent or lighter beings, we won't be living in a time essence. You know, there won't be a linear time if we move, from what I understand, the fifth dimension. So that itself is becoming less. I don't know how to describe it, but that's kind of my take on it, is that that is disappearing as well. And this is why people, we will be able to cross into different time periods, because that will be, everything will be aware. We'll be able to see all of the things going on, playing out at some point. So go ahead.
And well, no, my thought on that is just as interesting talking about time, because I don't know the time frame of when those things will happen. Right. Mm-hmm. I happen to agree with you, and that all these new things will start to be available to humans that were previously abilities and capabilities that were not available to us in the vibration that we were in. However, I don't know when this stuff is going to roll out. Is it going to be in my lifetime? Will I be able to, you know, go backwards in time or to teleport or to have telepathy with the people around me, or, you know, all these things that people have talked about. But certainly when you mentioned Nisara and Jasara before, like even just not having worldwide things roll out like that, where like income tax is not a thing, debt is not no longer a thing, poverty is no longer a structure that is perpetuated within governmental systems, etc. Those things I feel like we can very much are coming and are right around the corner, and certainly in my lifetime I'll be able to see. But this other stuff, this more like advanced, higher vibration of the human race in terms of like the light that's been coming into the planet and the changes that have been activated in our very DNA, man, I don't know when that stuff's going to start to turn up, when we're going to notice it. You know, I don't know if it's in my lifetime or if it's, you know, if that's 100 years, 500 years down the line from this massive turning point that we are seeing happen right now.
It's a hard question to answer, but I'm always curious about all the kinds of things. You did your last show, and of course your website is Let's Get Metaphysical. Is that what it's called? Let's Get Metaphysical, right?
That's the podcast website is letsgetmeta.com.
Okay. Let'sGetMeta.com, and you got two other sites as well. What are the names of those sites, if you don't mind again?
Yeah, what we're focusing on right now is for the podcast, for all things having to do with the Let's Get Metaphysical podcast, you'd go to letsgetmeta.com. But what we're also, what the easiest place is, my partner Julia and I have our production company, which is Up, Up and Awaken Productions. And so everything, all of our content that we're creating, our membership community, our courses and workshops that we run, and even for those who are interested in just supporting, contributing, tithing, donating to us, all of that can be found by going to upupandawaken.com. So that's probably the easiest to find out anything. You can get to the podcast, you can get to our web series, Wake Updates, you can get to all these other things. You can get to the Gateway, which is our membership community, all those things. So that's upupandawaken.com.
When did you start to know that you saw things in a, maybe I shouldn't say different, but you had this awareness? When did you, at what age, do you recall, Renata?
Yeah, I think the first time that I became aware that there was something more going on than I was used to or was expecting, I've recalled this story a few times, and I think I was around 5 or 6. And as my memory serves, my mom came home from work and her shoulders were bothering her. So I, as a 5-year-old, was just giving her like a little massage, and I started to feel in my hands the pain in her shoulders. Like I felt the pain in my hands. And then it transferred, and I felt it in my own body where I was feeling it, well, where she was feeling it in her body. And I think that was my first moment of being like, whoa. But at the same time, I was surprised, but I was also like, oh, this must be normal because it's happening, And so I went forward the next, 10, 15 years just thinking that everyone could do that and never really talked about it. But that was kind of my first empathic experience that made me realize something else was going on.
Did your mother like feel any energy or healing from you when you did that?
I don't know,
Okay.
honestly. I don't even know if she remembers that
Okay.
moment.
Oh
We
my
haven't really
goodness, you
talked about
healed
it.
my
Yeah.
shoulder, Renata. No.
No, yeah, there was not a moment like that.
Go get Grandpa. Go get Grandpa.
No. No,
Go get Lassie. Bring Lassie over here. Oh, come
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
That's
No,
pretty
none of that
cool.
happened. It wasn't until, my 20s that I started exploring energy medicine. And I had a few other experiences like that, the empathic ones where I could feel what somebody else was feeling. But I never really talked about it out loud. And when I did, there were a few times where the people I was talking to was like, that's impossible, and actually got angry, thinking that I could feel what they were feeling. So, had
When
to
did
choose my
you
crowds with that.
take the step to become more public with that? Because this is always fascinating to me because I know so many people, all of us really, that talk about these things or live these things. When did that start to become you t that first step, taking that first step?
I think that it's just different levels of evolution and all of our evolution, right? Like, I'm sure you can look back at your story, TJ, and I can look back at mine and say, this really set me on a course for a different level. And wow, taking this course really elevated my level of consciousness. And then I met these people in this community. I know that for me, 2014 was very much that like gateway for myself. I had recently graduated from Columbia University with my master's in public health. I had moved to DC. I had started a 9 to 5, in my chosen profession, and that lasted under a year. I didn't even last a year out of grad school when I decided that I could not be in the traditional 9 to 5 world for the rest of my life. And my intuition was telling me to go check out energy medicine. So I took a Reiki level 1 class. And then I took a healing touch level 1 class, and Healing Touch really did it for me because it was based, it was started by a nurse, a holistic nurse, that really did it for me because I needed the like academic kind of background. I needed to know how it worked, and more of the like left brain stuff, and that modality did provide that for me. And then basically from then on, it was just this complete life shift into energy medicine. And, you know, I mean, there were so many things, oracle cards and crystals and readings and astrological readings and all, you know, all the things, whatever. There's no wrong thing, I think, that leads you on your path. And it's not like I necessarily do all or any of those things anymore, but it keeps you going on your awakening path and process to, you know, wherever you are in your now moment. So it kind of started then.
I think it's always interesting because so many people, I think, are a little afraid to, you're seen as being different, and it takes a little bit of courage to go against the norm, so to speak, and be willing to speak your truth and live your truth. And I'll be honest, I don't completely do that every day because I'm on the radio, and I don't talk about these things. I drop little hints, but I just know that people are probably not ready for the things you and I are
Right.
talking about. But on the podcast, I can talk about pretty much whatever that I'd like to talk about. I want to talk about, if you don't mind, discuss your most recent podcast or some of them, because I think a lot of people are probably upset or afraid or they're not sure where the truth lies. And you did a wonderful show called Discerning the Truth. And would you mind talking a little bit about that, Renata?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, let me just start with the one that just came out that you're referring to is How to Discern Truth. It's the fourth episode in my sixth season. And the season is actually called The Moment of Truth. And it's the first season that I've done that is just me. And I'm not having guests on the show. That's just my guidance. And it started out with an episode called The Battle for Minds. And the next two episodes are Waking Up from Mind Control, parts one and two. And this most recent episode you're referring to is How to Discern Truth. And as you can kind of hear, there's kind of a theme there. But I will say that it's definitely been the most vulnerable season so far that I've done. It is, I've definitely had to be a lot more thoughtful when it's just you talking than when you're interviewing someone. Because, you know, and you were touching on this, so let's go into it. I don't want to, and as my spiritual teacher once told me, you don't want to booby trap anyone else's evolution. So what I took to mean by that is, you know, you can't really, there's no use in telling people things before they're ready to hear it, or forcing somebody to see the truth or what you think is the truth, right? And so even if you and I and, you know, other folks around us or in our spiritual communities or in our listenerships are there kind of where we are, it doesn't mean that everyone else is there or is ready to be there or even believes that there is real. So, you know, with these the, with this season, these last few episodes, I've really sought to maintain a fairly neutral stance in terms of you know, neutral stance in terms of politics, in terms of election, in terms of other things. And maybe people don't think that I'm being neutral at all, and that's okay. But the point is, I really want to encourage people to do their own research and this most recent episode is all about literally how to discern truth, especially, you know, that one came after the mind control episodes. It's not mind control if you know that it's happening to you, right? So like, I posit that many people are stuck in various forms of mind control and they have no idea about it. But then even if that's the case, how do you move forward and discern what is actually universal truth? Because the truth carries a frequency, it carries a resonance, and untruth carries a different resonance. And so I in the last several years, this has been a very large part of my spiritual practice, is literally discerning truth. It's a sacred practice that I can't go too much into. However, my partner Julia and I have created a course called How to Discern Truth. And we do touch on some tools and tips that everyone can use, no matter where they are, to help to discern the truth. And then we also go into more advanced our techniques and tools of how we discern truth for those who are more interested in really, really becoming clear and really becoming a truth magnet, if you will.
Would you say that, and I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable in any question I ask, and you don't have to answer anything you don't want, but I know you probably will. That's what I like about you, Renata. But when you say that we've been controlled, has this been going on for a long time, would you say?
Oh yeah, I think a really long time. But I also want to put out there that I think I said this in one of my episodes too. Like, I don't see myself or any of us as victims. I
No.
just want to be clear about
Right.
that. I like this is happening for a purpose, and I think most, if not everything that happens is happening for us and for our evolution, and not, because we're victims or something's happening against us. So, if you can zoom out a little bit and see that, for example, almost everything that we consume in terms of media is, especially if it's, from a mainstream source of media, is propaganda. And like, then you can start to kind of see, oh my gosh, that, I didn't see this before, but I've been listening to this my whole life. And if it gets repeated enough times, then that's just is true for me. So controlled for a long time. Yeah, I do think that. And I think we're at the point where we are all waking up from that, because we have collectively, as souls and as beings on this planet, decided that we want to elevate out of that level of consciousness, that we have said, okay, I'm done with that lesson. I have experienced what it feels like to be controlled in some way, some form or another. And now I do feel that we're on at this turning point where more and more souls are saying, okay, I'm done with that. I'm ready to see what it's like to be on this planet without being controlled and without having poison in my food and my water, and without having propaganda come at me from every which way, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
You know,
So, yeah.
I think also, I look to it like the ancients, we don't even have to answer because the ancients kind of laid it out for us. The 26,000 year cycle of the Mayan calendar really was foretelling the end of one age, which I think was the end of the Dark Age and the beginning of the Light Age in 2012. So it wasn't the end of the planet. And then you've had
Right.
others that have said similar things, the Aborigines. And so there are many different cultures that had this wisdom that we kind of forgot or lost at one time. And so if you just even look at that, you can see that this was an agreement as to how I would call it as, hey, let's try this for a while.
Right.
This will be fun. And then it's like, okay, maybe the agreement's coming to an end. You're supposed to leave now. I don't want to
Right.
leave. I'm not leaving. Are you kidding? I like it too much. There's other places you can go. It's a big universe. No, I don't want to leave. Well, ultimately, when enough light comes here, you don't have a choice. You're not going to want to be around. It's going to make you very uncomfortable. Plus, eventually, you're going to probably come back to the light someday too. Well,
Right.
I guess so. Okay.
I think that's a really beautiful way to explain it. And actually, it touches on something that I have been kind of has been sinking in for me about, you mentioned comfort and discomfort. And I feel like on the flip side of that, people, you said dark age, and we're coming out of a dark age. And actually, like, if that's all you've been in, like, you don't even realize that it's a dark age, right? Because if that's just normal to you, that's your normal. So who's to say, oh, this is a dark age,
Right.
And if we don't know what the light age would look like, if we don't have any experience as to what that could be. And you mentioned comfort, and I just wanted to put that on the level of the humans who are maybe neutral or of the light and actually aren't contributing to the dark at all, they are comfortable right now. And I've been feeling a whole lot of compassion come in to my heart these last few days for friends and family and community members who are so comfortable. They understand on some level what feels normal to them and what feels comfortable and safe. And I use safe with quotations to them because they know what it is. Okay. They're used to this. They're used to that. They expect that the inauguration is going to happen as it always has happened because that's what they are comfortable with. They expect and maybe are attached to that going as planned, and planned being in quotation marks. And so I'm having a lot of this compassion surge in because I think we are at a point where we need to let go of all these expectations, and we have to let go of our attachments, and we have to let go of our comfort levels. I think we're about to be made very uncomfortable as a society, and that it's actually good for us. I think the next few weeks and days and months are going to be uncomfortable for certainly Americans, but certainly I feel like everyone around the planet potentially, because it's going to stretch us into realities and experiences that we have not had yet. And so you're talking about, the comfort of, the darker agents of, who's been causing chaos on this planet, being comfortable here and not wanting to leave. And I'm also looking at, the humans who maybe haven't been agents of chaos, who nonetheless are also comfortable with where they are right now and comfortable, some might say, in their ignorance, or comfortable in their sleep. And I don't say that in a demeaning way. I just say that as a way that we're all in, we all have been in. And it might be uncomfortable, to say the least, for this period of time coming up. But I do believe that we're all going to get through it. Everyone did sign up for this on some level, and I'm hopeful and I'm excited to see what happens in these next few months with the collective consciousness and what that might look like and what that might feel like to people.
So
I don't know.
when you say Renata uncomfortable, you're saying there's going to be some more events that are going to happen that are probably going to, if people aren't, if they haven't discerned the truth, they're going to be in for a little bit of a surprise. Would you say that?
I would say that, and I'm careful about this because I don't ever want to come across as somebody who's like, I know something you don't know. Like it's not like that. It's like I'm very close with my guides, and I'm very close with my intuition, and I'm very close with I understand that my intuition leads me places. This is where why I've ended up where I am in my life. This is why I have a podcast for those listening. That didn't come out of my human mind. That was guided. And so, yeah, I think that what we are in now is certainly unprecedented if you zoom out and look at where we're at right now in history. And if we take these next few days, and we take these next few weeks, and we take these next few months, I don't think it looks the way that it has in the past. That's to put it lightly. I think that there will be some very shocking things happening that are going to rock everybody, whether you're expecting it or not. And you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe whoever's listening to this is like, this is crap. And in 3 weeks, everything's normal. And
That's what
we
I,
have,
right.
and
That's,
that's, and that's okay. That, that's
that's.
fine. But everything in me, every cell in my body is saying that, no, this is not business as usual, or this is not just another inauguration. This is not just another January. This is not just another XYZ. I
So,
think we're at a tipping point.
when it comes to discerning the truth, what are things that people, they can listen and go to your website and find out more about that, but what would be some things you would tell them that they can do?
Absolutely. I'll mention two things that I mentioned on my most recent podcasts that I think are really important. Number one is you have to want the
Yes,
truth.
absolutely.
And this is something that people don't understand. And I keep talking about this. I did on that episode and in our workshop and just about everywhere. But you have to actually want the truth. And I think that most people are under the impression that they do want the truth, but in reality, I don't think that people are asking for it. I think that they are allowing whatever comes to them to, be their truth, whether or not it actually is divine and universal truth or not. And so, my advice in this sense would be to literally center ground, go inward, sink into your heart, and ask your high self and your guidance and your higher power, whatever that is for you, to be shown universal truth in every moment and every hour and every day. And I know people who have done this, who have simply asked for it, asked their higher selves, their guidance, to be shown the truth, and their world has flipped upside down because they asked for it. And the universe wants to help you with what you want. So if you truly want to know the truth and see the truth, I respectfully ask you to request it. That's one thing. And I guess the other thing I will say is something else I also talked about in my episode, which is following expansion and following contraction in your body, really tuning into your body. When you are hearing something, people are so disconnected from their bodies, especially when we spend lots and lots of times on screens and less time in nature. And I will say that being in Costa Rica, being out of the energy field of the United States, which is a very powerful energy field, by the way, and being in the ocean almost every day and walking in the forest almost every day here, et cetera, has made me a lot more in tune with my body. So anything you can do to become more in tune with your body, but following expansion. Somebody tells you something or you hear something, how does it make you feel in your body? Does it feel expansive? Does your body feel like it is expanding outward, or does it feel like it's contracting? And it could feel neutral as well. But following that very simple in your body expansion or contraction can lead you to becoming more in touch with what is true. And I would say that that is corresponding to expansion and untruth, which is more corresponding to contraction, if that makes sense.
And also, for me too, I think it's like, you have to let your ego leave. Step aside from the part of you that's always judging whatever you hear. I've always been, thanks to my mother, I think, well, myself too, I got to give myself some credit. I just pat myself, ouch, on the back. And if you can let go of thinking that you're always right, or thinking that you know everything that there is to know, then that's a good start, a good place to start, because you go into it like a child with like, I'm curious. And that's what I am. It's like, I'm curious. Okay, I want to know. And I could be wrong on all, like, I like when you said I could be wrong on all this. And to me, it just shows the humble side of yourself that you're not willing to think that whatever comes out of your mouth is like gold. I wish it was, because we'd be making a lot of money right now, Renata. But the thing is, I've let go of a lot of that in the last number of years because it really doesn't matter. It doesn't serve me. So now I just look at it with desire and look at it as what rings. And I also keep an open mind that maybe I'm wrong on all of this. And it, I have this desire, this thirst, which I didn't have when I was younger. I don't know why. It's like, boring, not interested, blah, blah, blah. And now, it's in the last 30 plus years, I have this incredible desire to learn and find, and I watch documentaries and programs that lift my spirit and whatever, read and go out in nature and talk to people. I talk to everybody I meet, Renata. I ask everybody questions, probably to the point of, okay, this guy's annoying. He keeps asking questions. But I find that's how I learn. I've learned more from just talking to people probably than I have from reading books. Or, even you can find so much on the internet. But everybody has a story. And if they open up that little gem of something that lines up with your truth, you go, wow, they just shared something with me that maybe they shared with nobody else, but it's like a little hidden gem. I don't want to tell anybody this, but let me tell you what happened to me. And when you hear that, I think bingo. And I'm so grateful that they share those things with me, because it just adds more to what I feel I already know. But you never know, right? Until you search beyond that. So that's
You're
my two.
making me want to go back and redo, not redo, but add to How to Discern Truth that episode, because curiosity is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way to start. And I don't even think I mentioned that. And it really is it's a huge part. If you can be insatiably curious and genuine in your not being right about everything. And I don't know. I think I've always had maybe a thread of like thinking that I'm right, for sure. But like this last year has completely, maybe co not completely, but it has wiped a major part of that strand out of me, because I was wrong about so many things. And I was shown that in 2020. I was wrong about so many people. I was wrong about the way that the world worked on the 3D level, anyways. And it's just, yeah, the truth is, it's all, yeah, it's expansive though. It doesn't matter. Like when you hear the truth, it's expansive. It lifts you up because it is a resonance. So it doesn't really matter that you were wrong. When you're hearing truth, it should uplift you. It should put you more in your power.
Yeah, and I think especially when you're talking about like a higher, if you want to label it, like a higher spiritual truth. I know when I get in those conversations with people, and they might be seeing it from a different aspect, but we all have one thing in common. What's the number one thing that I think we all have is love. And so if that's what our source is, when we start getting towards that, that's when I feel the vibrations with whoever's in the room with me just go whoop right through the roof. And that to me is the highest universal truth that we can start with. And then there are other things within that that fall within that plane. But you know, I listen to your podcast and it's wonderful just the way it is. It really is.
Thanks. But no, I would definitely, for those listening, I'd definitely add being genuinely, authentically, and insatiably curious at this time, and doing your own research. Don't take it at face value. I think I even said that in this episode. I said, don't just trust me because I'm talking to you right now. Like go inward and see if this is resonating or not. You know,
Absolutely.
that's the wrong thing to do, is don't just blindly trust anything right now, but be open and curious about what could be. Because what I have seen over the last year is that the most outrageous things that you could never possibly think are true are in fact kind of the majority of what is happening right now and is becoming more and more true as each day goes on.
And you would say, because you and I talked about this, you know, obviously off the air, you've done a complete change, and it wasn't that long ago.
A complete change. I mean,
As far,
well,
go ahead, I'm sorry. I mean, as far as
no.
the way you saw things at one time, you've kind of shifted that focus a lot.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, and I said this in a recent episode, is that I would have been, if you would have met me a year or even, a year ago, 2 years ago, I would have very much appeared as a quintessential, what we call in the United States, liberal. And in, all the ways, I won't even go down that list right now, but I have become apolitical now. I have become neutral as part of my spiritual practice, believe it or not. It is not in my personal best interest to be any kind of polarizing right now. And some people listening who are liberals will be like, you're not a liberal, that is polarizing, and like and feel very triggered by
Right,
that,
I know.
and be like, well, if you're not a liberal, you must be a Trump lover and whatever. So that's fine. But apolitical. And as part of my spiritual practice, I'm practicing being as neutral as possible in this time. And that may not always come across because I'm human, but it is something that I'm practicing and I do believe in, because I think that we're going more into neutrality and less into the polarity.
The polarity. Your voice dropped out again. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Oh, it keeps saying that my connection is unstable. Sorry, I don't know why this usually doesn't ever happen here.
That refers to me, probably.
No. Where do you want me to start?
Just that, I don't know. I
Here,
lost my train of
let me
thought.
say this. I do feel like we are headed towards more neutrality at this time and out of polarity. I do believe we are heading into more unity and out of duality. And
Two
I
parties. You have two parties. Duality, always against each other.
always against each other, and yet all maybe possibly working for the same people. So it's, I talked about this in my recent episode. So if anyone wants to dive into that, go ahead and listen to those. But neutrality is my new spiritual practice, and I think that it is helping me to have so much more compassion and so much more kindness towards everyone, no matter where they are at or which quote unquote side they are on, or no matter what level of consciousness they are at this time, because I have the beauty of having the experience of being so very polarized to one side and looking at the other side like, how could you possibly be for this person? How could you vote for that? Being so polarized
All right.
as to even thinking that censorship or violence or the stopping of expression from that group would be okay. Okay. And I am not there, and I've not swung to the other side. It's very much a wow, I understand. I can have compassion for these people that used to be the other side, and I can also have compassion for the team. I would think I was referring to it as teams in my episode that I would previously have been said to be on, because it's this mind control, and people don't realize how much they have been influenced by forces that they don't even understand have been influencing them. And so this compassion is coming out. And I guess what it was coming in today that I'd love to share with the listeners is, whatever happens over the next days and weeks and months and years, I would highly encourage you to be kind to your neighbor. Whoever your neighbor is, your family members, your community members, your neighbor. Show kindness and patience for your neighbor, because we are all going to be going through a massive transition, and we need to have compassion for each other for every single level of consciousness that we are, and every belief that we might hold, and every belief that might be shattered in us or in somebody else. We really need to keep a soft spot in our hearts for ourselves and for our neighbors at this time.
Yeah, it seems like we're in a time where people are so sure of themselves and they've got it all figured out. Because
Right.
I don't go on Facebook and comment, but I do enjoy reading one side and then the other. I've got these friends that are very much stuck and they're trying to convince other people, and that doesn't work. People just attack each other. And so
Right.
I've just stayed off of Facebook because I have no desire to get in those arguments or to stir people up. We should be spreading love, in my opinion. So if you're gonna, it's up to them, do what you want, but if you're gonna put something out there, why not put a message of love? And
Right.
that will be the thing that's going to break through hearts more than, I'm telling you I'm right. I know this. Blah,
Right.
blah, blah.
Exactly.
So we are, I think, heading in that direction. And if we can learn to maybe discern things, and you can go, Renata can help you. I'm glad you did a show about that, but also with her courses, she can show you things. And as far as like we've been controlled, I've talked about that on my podcast. I might go a little further down the rabbit hole than you do, But it's like, but I don't really like to go too far.
Bless you for doing that, because that takes courage, and there's a certain amount of fear that had previous to now kept me from being more open and authentic and going down the rabbit hole. So thank you.
Well, I mean, it's just, I take it on what's happened in the past, and I try to avoid what's going on too much presently. And if I do, I might say, well, here's a source that says something or whatever, because I'm not an expert, but I really believe there are those who've been here in the past that have relayed messages, and we can see how things have played out, history repeating itself over and over. And I think most of us would agree that there's beings of the light. And there's beings that are not of the light. And these are not bad, well, they appear that way, but they're just absence of light beings that are not ready to go back to it. And I believe they signed up for this role because we wanted to experience duality. So
Right.
we want to blame them. Oh, they're evil. And I don't even use that word because whatever words we use, we create more power with. So
Right.
I tend to just look at it as light and lack of light. And I think, they have played a role for a long time. We've allowed that. We've wanted to be a part of it. And that time is coming to an end. And they're going to throw a temper tantrum. They're going to do everything
Yeah.
they can to keep that. And, I love them because they're you and I,
Yeah.
They're just, and I believe they'll probably go somewhere else. Once enough light arrives here, they'll say, okay, I can't be around all these people that are filled with love. This is crazy. I'm getting out of here. I'm
I
going to
think
Nep
that was really beautifully said.
I'm going to Neptune. Neptune.
Yeah.
Or let me ask you real quick. I don't know if you follow this. What do you think about these monoliths? Have you seen anything? Have you had a feeling about any of this?
Give me an example.
Well, there was a monolith that was found in Utah in the middle of nowhere, and they said it almost would have had to been helicoptered in. And I
Helicopter in.
Yeah, well, how else would you get this in the middle of nowhere in this remote area? And then other ones have showed up all over the earth, and there's like over 100 of them now, and I'm sure many are copycat. But the original monolith, I don't know what I think about it, but I think there could be some kind of message with that
Is
monolith.
this a new thing that has arrived, or are you talking about like they have been found, but they've clearly been
This
there for
has
a
been
period of time?
only in the last couple of months that these things have been showing up all
Oh,
over the
really? I have not heard anything about this.
Planet. And the one in Utah, there's one in California, and there was one I think in Croatia, and some of those places, they're obviously knockoffs, but the one in Utah really makes me curious because it's like, how did people get it there? This thing is probably 10 feet tall or taller. It's stuck in the ground. I don't know what the metal is made of. They haven't really said. And even if they do, when they tell me something, I tend to think the opposite. So others have said that this was somebody sending us a message, and I hope that's the case. But you don't have anything on that. Maybe next time we talk.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but I'm curious to look into that now, though I don't know what news sources that I would trust to even attempt to go down and look at that now.
That's true. That's true. There are a couple of sources I go to that are do a lot of, deal with channels and people that, like you and I, are talking. One of them is eraoflight.com. I look at a lot of, I don't believe everything that's on there. And then the Golden Age of Gaia is another one that has consistent sources on it. So those are a couple that I enjoy certain things when they bring them up. But it also gets me to think. Again, this challenges me to, what the heck is this? I'm curious,
Right. Yeah, that would make me curious too, for sure.
So you made reference to the Matrix, and do you want to go down that at all? Or do you want to, how are what we're living in is like the Matrix? Are we all living in little pods, you're saying, and they're sucking my life out of me, or?
Well, I don't think it's quite like the way that they portray it in the 1999 movie, The Matrix. However, I have certainly had moments this past year where it felt like I was almost waking up in one of those pods, and like looking around in just utter like shock and kind of having this existential realization or realizations for sure. I don't think it's quite quite like that. However, I think it was a beautiful allegory, that movie, for what it has happened with our minds. And that's what I tried to touch upon in the episode, The Battle for Minds, which is, I talked about this in that episode, but if the powers that be can control our mind, they gain control of our souls. And I've been talking to a few people. One of them is the last guest I had on was Dr. Norma Milanovic, who is the author of the book The Light Shall Set You Free, which is one of the books that majorly woke me up a few years ago. Majorly woke me up, and she was kind enough to be on my podcast. And she says that she was channeling or conveying in that episode that we're in a battle for minds, and the prize is the soul. And I read that in her book, and I really resonated with that. So, fast forward to like waking, going throughout the year and having these different realizations and seeing just how much I personally, I'll just speak for myself, was being mind controlled to some extent. It does have that feeling of wow, once you can wake up from that, you and realize that you have been influenced by these subtle ways your whole life, and you can pull out of that. There is that moment of kind of certainly, if not waking up in a pod connected to all kinds of wires, certainly that like need to throw up kind of moment, to because that's how shocking it can feel. Once you realize, have you had a moment like that, TJ?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was quite a while ago, but
Yeah.
there were some things.
I'm late to the game, as they
Well,
say.
no, I don't think so. But this is just a journey I've been on for so long, and there were things that happened that personally to me that were paranormal, if you want to call them, those kind of things. But then also just coming across certain encounters with people or different events, and they certainly changed. One of the biggest influences for me, and I know some people will say, well, that's kind of a cult. I don't know if it is. One of the greatest influences was Ramtha. I read the Ramtha books. My brother was into it. He sent me tapes and stuff, and I would listen, and it just rang so true. And then I started to search to find if this was true. And that's what got my curiosity going. Okay, he says the earth's hollow. I don't know if I believe that, but I'm going to see if I could find some books, maybe interview some people, And then he said all these other things that were so amazing, the things he talked about. And so that's really what kind of got me, gave me a huge wake-up call to start. And the more I dug, and sometimes you find what you're looking for, because you believe it. But I kept an open mind and just wanted to see if there was any truth to any of the things that he said. As far as aliens, I saw one, and I saw UFOs. So all this stuff now makes sense to me when years ago I wasn't sure. I was a starting point. So that to me has been probably what's opened up my mind. And then the more you do it, the more it happens.
Right. You're gonna
So,
have to give me the name of those books
really?
afterwards. I'm curious.
Really? Interesting. You ever hear of Masters of the Far East?
Yes, I have. I haven't read it though.
Yeah, that's another series of books. Some say that was totally made up, but even if it isn't, if it is, the basic premise is that we are all these enlightened masters. We are these godlike beings that are unlimited. Well, that only makes sense. And that when we've had people like Jesus and others pass through, they were trying to remind us of that because we've been
Right.
so caught up in the game. And, I've found people on this planet that I've talked to that have done amazing things that you didn't think somebody could do in a moment of where they forgot that they merely were mortal. They were
Right.
able to do, like, lift up a car, a 10-year-old boy. I heard a story more than once on this, or people that would heal somebody. So, to me, it's all evidence that certainly is probably true that we are unlimited beings. We're meant to be unlimited beings. How could we not be?
Right.
So that's
I
kind
certainly hope we're heading back to that realization. I think we are. I really think we're headed for a really beautiful era. I really do. I think that once we get past this next maybe potentially uncomfortable and chaotic part, we're really in for a treat.
And don't, wouldn't you say also, Renata, that we need to, a lot of people are afraid, and how do you deal with that? Do you just let it go? Do you, because it doesn't serve us in any way, does it, to be afraid?
No, and I understand, I have compassion for the fear that's coming up because I certainly felt it, especially going through this awakening process more and more last year. There's a lot of fear that came up, and that's part of it. Part of the transition is to allow, this is my belief, right? Part of our transition is to allow the fear to come up and out of our bodies, out of our DNA, out of our consciousness, out of our muscles, out of our bones, out of all of it, because we have carried the frequency of fear on so many different levels and scarcity, right? On so many different levels for so long. So for me, part of it is actually this needs to come up. It can't be suppressed, it needs to be released. So, for all of us who are feeling any fear right now, I would, and encourage people to accept that that's what you're feeling and ask your high self and your guidance for that to be released and transformed into the light, transmuted into the light. And, moving forward, I think something that's really helped me is I truly do believe that that the universe is on our side, the higher power is on our side, and that the higher power is actually in control. And so that helps me to just let go a little bit, just relax a little bit, and have faith that the things that are happening right now are exactly what they are supposed to be and are not, in fact, leading us into a darker time, but are leading us into the light, as so many of us have waited for so long, consciously or unconsciously. So that fear needs to come up and be blessed and transmuted and sent back to the light, so that we can all be free and unimpeded and unhindered to move forward into these more high vibrating light bodies and this new light-filled era that we're going into.
Well, I'd love to talk for several more hours, Renata,
Me too, TJ.
but I have to actually, I'm supposed to run somewhere today to meet with a client with the radio station. So I'm running behind on that. But you know what? The universe will make them understand, I'm sure so. But it's really
Yeah.
been a pleasure talking to you again. And I hope we can do this again soon because I'm sure there's many more things I'd like to discuss with you. But I thank you for sharing, especially about how to discern the truth. And maybe that gives people a chance. I got to believe, even me, I look at things and I go, sometimes it takes me about a day and then I process it and I trust the feeling that's inside me. But at first, you're going, what the heck's this? There's been a lot of that in the last year or so, a lot of those things that have caused us to do that. But again, if you don't mind mentioning your websites and anything else you want to tell me as we leave.
Sure. Thanks, TJ. And I want to thank you so much for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I very much enjoy having you on the show. I've ha enjoyed having you on my show. And yeah, if anyone is interested in learning more about me, the easiest way to find what we do is by going to upandawaken.com. And if you love listening to podcasts, you can check out the Let's Get Metaphysical podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much, TJ. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Renata.